This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back for another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are Thanks for Visiting.
You know, if Annette did solo, that means we are not together right now. Annette is traveling drivable destinations, of course, and safely. But where are you, Annette? You're in Atlanta?
Yes, right outside of Atlanta in a little town, Roswell, in an Airbnb. So it's actually my second stay here. So I think I've done stories on it on Instagram. It's a perfect for my friends and I. It's just a perfect little location. It's exactly what you would anticipate for a short-term rental. So it's been great to just relocate.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm excited because today on this episode, I'm getting too far ahead of ourselves. We got to do our STR
you're
share.
Not skipping our share. Are you?
Well, I got excited about our guest because you're friends with her.
I know. And you guys, this isn't just like, oh, they're friends with Sarah. No.
We got a star
we got
on the show.
Profesh. Yeah. We're very excited. But let's get into STR Share Sunday. We are sharing Mossy Hollow Cove. That is their Instagram handle. So MossyHollowCove. And they are out of Minnesota. Annette, why do we love them?
Oh, well, I really want to be there right now because it looks like the leaves are unbelievable. They're newer hosts. Katie is a newer host, but man, they are coming into this Airbnb life with like guns a-blazing. I mean, they are crushing it right now. I was just reading their reviews. I think that there has been not one detail that they did not pay attention to. Number one, their location is like right on the shoreline. So they are highlighting that everywhere. And I think that that needs to be done. If you have an unbelievable vacation or location like that, you've got to highlight that right out, continued over and over again.
Yes, I was on their. I am on their Airbnb listing, and yes, their photos of their interior are fantastic. But you know where they leveled up unexpectedly is their drone shots. Mm. Their drone shots on their Airbnb listing are out of this world. It is like they are in the fanciest of luxury rental magazines. It's stunning. So well done, you guys. You've not only paid attention to the inside details for your guests, but you're really showing them how nestled you are. We've got waterfront, you've got trees. It's a stunning introduction to your property for someone who's looking to book.
So I think that is something that Sarah and I have not mentioned on STR Share Sunday before. And so I think we're just going to let that sink in as this one highly noted thing of these drone shots. If you have someone that you can have come out, especially if you have an incredible location like theirs, definitely take a look into that. It will be worth the investment. And I'm sure the drone photographer would enjoy maybe one overnight stay in exchange for their photo. So yeah, that well done on that. We haven't really seen that too much before. If have we ever seen that with the STR shares?
I mean, there have been drone shots, but not as dramatic as these. These are incredible.
Awesome. So well done, Mossy Hollow Cove. Please go follow them, like them, and take a look at their highlights. They are going to crush it. And we want to come stay with you sometime. All right, Sarah, let's get on to the show. And I'm going to let you take this away.
Yeah. So, all right, listeners, I may have mentioned a few times on the podcast that I used to live in New York City. I was there for about 15 years. I went there with a one-track mind. I was going to be a Broadway star. And while I did make a great living singing and dancing, there are times where you have to get a quote unquote real job. And I found myself in restaurants and hotels and eventually a hotel that I stayed at for several years. And I just fell in love with the professionals who not only worked there, but also the professionals who came in and helped to coach us and level us up as a staff. So when Annette and I were thinking about guests this year, I was like, I've got to get Kate Buehler on the show. She is amazing. Kate is a consultant and trainer for luxury sales and service. She has over 25 years of experience in hospitality, revenue management, and cross-cultural sales. Lately, she has been working with clients on staying ahead of the trends and competition by keeping current on each next normal in the age of COVID-19. That is a crazy brief introduction. I've asked Kate if she wouldn't mind diving in deeper. Kate, welcome to our show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
I am so excited that you're here. I'm going to keep saying it because I just feel like all of our listeners are getting this free training almost with you. The words that you're going to say could truly change their business. But Kate, I'll never forget sitting down with you and my team in a training room, and you told us your story. And I would love for you to tell that same story to our listeners so they can get to know you a little bit more.
Sure, absolutely. First of all, I remember you too, Sarah, because you are a bright light. And you were a bright light when you were in my class. And I remember at one point, that particular business that we were talking about was shutting down. And you were looking for the next thing to do. And I still remember telling you, you don't need to work for anyone else but yourself, because you were starting your entrepreneurship, and I have just loved watching you grow. And you've just blossomed into this great businesswoman, which you always knew you could be. But you know, lots of people could be great, but you took the chance to do it. And I think that's a feather in your cap. My story started off a little bit like yours. A billion years ago, I was working in New York City. Also, I was a theater major, musical theater major. I went to New York to be a singer and actress, which is what I think that's the story of. I think they said 2/3 of people in the restaurant industry in New York City were singers and actors.
Absolutely.
So I started off that way. And like you, I discovered I enjoyed it. I still sing for fun, but I really like to eat on a regular basis and get and have bills paid. So I fell in love with the hotel business, just like you. Hotels, to me, were magical places. And they were places where people get married and get pregnant and die, and all these exciting things happen, and you see celebrities all the time. And it was really glamorous, especially when I started in the industry. I worked as a butler, and I got to see everybody naked and help them get ready for whatever gala they were going to. And they would tell me all kinds of things that I would never tell anyone else. And so I fell in love with hotels and hospitality. And it was years later I realized I had a head for business. And I worked in different capacities, as you said. But at one point in my career, I was working for a company. I'd gotten pretty high up the ladder in the particular company where I was spending my time helping rich people get richer. And I'm good at that. It's a weird skill set, but I'm good at helping people make an additional couple million dollars here and there. So I was flying around the world and everyone kept telling me how lucky I was to have the job I did, but I didn't feel as lucky. And there was something that was missing. And I wanted to combine what I had learned in food and beverage with what I had learned with rooms, with what I had learned in revenue management and training. And I love to teach people how to maybe do their job better or how to realize how important they are to the organization. So anyhow, I was having these deep thoughts. I was on an airplane, and this was October 26th, 2010, just to put a fine point on it. And I was flying from Miami to Boston, and it was a 9 p.m. flight, and the flight had taken off and kind of uneventful. And we were up in the air for about an hour, and I was thinking, you know what? I should really do something to change my life. And just when that happened, the plane lost altitude really fast. There was a very loud boom sound, and what happened was a big piece of the airplane ripped open. So the roof of the airplane ripped up, and we all lost pressure in the airplane. The oxygen sucked out of the plane, and it got very cold, like you're inside a freezer. And it got dark. People were injured. My nose was bleeding. My ears were bleeding. And in case that has never happened to you, knock on wood, it never will. The oxygen mask came down, and it's all that stuff that you don't listen to, right, with the airlines. So the bag did not inflate, but oxygen was flowing, and everybody put on their masks. And after a couple of minutes, the pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm terribly sorry. We've lost pressure. I don't know what else is wrong with this plane, but we need to go back to Miami. We're 1 hour over the Atlantic Ocean. We need to turn around. And we were at 31,000 feet. There's no air up there. I didn't know, but there isn't. So we need to go down very quickly to 5,000 feet. So everybody hold on. And he did this big barrel turn with the plane. We got very low. And for an hour, we kind of chugged our way back to Miami. And during that time, the first thought I had was, oh my God, you know, will my children be all right? I wish they would have a mother, right? I had lived in New York long enough. I had no hope. So I thought, this is it. And I thought, you know what? They know what I would do. They have a great dad. He's reasonably handsome. Somebody will pick him up and marry him. So fine. So this took 2 minutes of my time, realizing that everybody will be okay. And I also realized that in my lifetime, I've lived enough lifetimes for three people, I'm okay. But did I have any regrets? And the one thing I regretted was I had just spent the last large portion of my life and my career making rich people richer, when what I'm really happy doing is making regular people richer. And so I promised myself in that airplane that if I did not die, what I would do instead was start my own business. And I would dedicate the rest of my time making regular people richer. And that can be richer in money, or it can be richer in experience. It can be richer in self-esteem. But whatever it is, that's what I've done. So I still make hotels and companies richer, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't hire me. But it's the unique opportunity, like I got to do with you, Sarah, to connect with an individual that makes me want to do what I do. So I travel 275 days a year up till the pandemic. I travel all over the world. I talk to fascinating, remarkable people at every level of a company's station. So I can talk to marketing directors and general managers and people who are the decision makers, all the way down to the employees that are talking to the guests. And actually, they're also decision makers. So whatever level of an organization you're currently at, you're responsible for representing that organization. So once I get to deliver that message, then I'm able to get everyone working together in alignment. So the plane landed. We did not die. I had the whole business plan in my head at that point because I had an hour. I quit my job a couple of days later, and I've been doing this ever since. So that's a long story of how my company, Profitable to Train, got to be.
Hey, Annette, are you going to say, Annette, the famous, I've got chills, I've got goosebumps?
Well, I had all the, I'm kind of mad at you, Sarah, because you didn't prep me for this, but I'm kind of excited because you didn't prep me for this. So I am just feeling, I didn't know that. This episode isn't supposed to make me feel emotional, but I think I have to tell the listeners, Kate made me very emotional before the episode with some of her statements, and I hadn't even known this story yet. So I can't wait to dig in with some of the stuff there. But yeah, I had no idea any of that. So I cannot wait to dig in and see how you can help all of us up level and just the wisdom that you can share with us. I'm blown away. I guess I probably shouldn't say that after you just go through a near death, blown away roof story. But yeah, let's. So once you started, give us some of that background of how can you help our listeners, who are independent and running their own businesses, and I do love that because all of our listeners are business owners. And sometimes it's not as glamorous as being, Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates, but everyone is a business owner and can become more profitable. So
absolutely.
And we're in it. And I think your story starts with a difficult time, and we are in a difficult time right now. So do you want to kind of walk us through the pandemic and your thoughts on it? And
I would love to. The pandemic is a tragic time for so many people, and it has impacted people I know. It has impacted a lot of families, and I never want to belittle this time or let anybody think that this time is not serious, because it is. It's very serious. But what I really believe is this is a time in history when lots of things are happening all at once. We are living through one of the biggest, most tumultuous times in modern day history. And we will look back on these times and see how all the puzzle pieces fit together. But truly, this is also one of the most exciting times to be planning and thinking ahead and redesigning and rebuilding what you want to be and what your industries want to be. I can promise you, my company sounds so fun. I travel around the world. I stay in luxury hotels. People pay me to get massages and to eat in fancy restaurants. But I can also say a lot of what I do is not glamorous. A lot of people say, "Oh, I want to do what you're doing," and I go ahead, try it, because it's hard work. So I'm right there with a lot of your listeners who are sole proprietor companies. I'm a sole proprietor, by the way, where you are doing everything. So first of all, I can tell you that part of my job is to trend spot. And this pandemic is super weird. This is not like a standard recession we see. This is different. So what is so strange right now, Annette, is some parts of the country are experiencing a boom and a recovery, and most of the country is not. So just to start off where we are right now, my clients, the clients that are hiring me right now that are luxury hotels, that would be something for your listeners to sort of relate to. Here's the ones that seem to be successful right now. The ones who are calling me and having me work for them have warm weather. They have wealthy drive markets, meaning that there are a very large pool of people that are not job impacted right now, that are able to drive to their business. They depend on individual travelers, not groups, not corporate clients, business clients, but people who are in for luxury leisure travel. And the businesses that I'm seeing that are successful right now have a lot of outdoor activities and outdoor dining. So there are a handful of locations in the US right now that are busy. They are busy because of those factors. So if you are a sole proprietor right now listening to me, and you are in a southern state that's going to be warm weather year round, that has outdoor activities, that has a wealthy drive market, you are right now already in a great position. Something else that I found that I want to tell all your listeners, this is really important, especially those people in that drive market. People who are traveling still, so this isn't for, you know, in a few months from now, this is right now. People who are traveling right now through the pandemic are spending 2 to 3 times more than they normally do.
Really? Yes. I haven't heard that stat yet. That's amazing.
It's amazing. And we're talking luxury market, right? So I'm not talking about the family that has to travel because a relative is ill, right? That's a different situation. But a scenario where a person is traveling because they want to get out of the city. They want to get out of LA. They're going to travel, you know, to an hour and a half, 2 hours away so that they can have a little family reconnect time. That family is going to spend way more than they normally do. And that is because they realize how precious that time is. There is pent-up demand. People who are not able to fly to Florida right now, or not willing to fly to Florida right now, or can't fly to Hawaii right now. That market of people that normally take their vacation are spending quite a bit. So just be careful, everybody, of unnecessarily discounting your product. And I'm not speaking to everyone here, but for those of you that have those factors I just listed, people will happily pay as long as you're delivering on the experience and the service and the area is delivering on what they need. So that's right now what's happening.
Hey, if a listener is like, well, shoot, you know, like the short-term rental owners we just shared who are in Minnesota.
Right.
What do you see for our listeners who might be in those colder states right now? And just listeners for reference, we are recording this at the end of October 2020, just to give you a little.
Good idea. Yeah, you know, absolutely right. So we talked about where it's a good scenario for everybody, and then we'll talk about where people are going to have to get a little more creative. I am speaking to you right now from very cold, rainy Boston. A few weeks ago, I was in almost as cold New York. So anybody who is in a northern or colder climate, they're going to have to do a little more creative work to attract their clients at this point. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing they can do. So if everybody has to be flexible, here's a couple of things to think about. First off, ask yourself the following questions. Is your target audience changing? So Minnesota, I will say anybody who is in a northern state that has skiing, how is social distancing going to work for ski season? I know, so interestingly enough, I'm starting to get calls from my cold destination. Again, skiing is an outdoor activity. So there could be great opportunities for anybody who is in colder climates if they have outdoor activities. But what do they need to be near your location? So for example, people who are in Minnesota, do you have an opportunity for a family to come and stay and enjoy quiet family time together where there's restaurants that are open, where there's attractions that are still open? Are you keeping up to date on what is happening in your region, right? That's going to be super important. Another really big business right now, I can tell you, my son, I have one son that graduated from college last semester, and I have another son who's a sophomore in college. Lots of college students are looking for short-term rentals. Is that something that you two have discussed on your show so far?
Not a dedicated show, but Annette, that would be, we live in obviously Columbus, Ohio, which is arguably houses the largest
university
in the US.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we have several properties here, Kate, and I had wondered the same thing if we were going to get an influx of college students. And I wonder if there was just so much unknown back in August, you know what I mean, when people may have been searching for rentals, but come the spring semester or even summer, if people are going to have more of a grounded understanding of what they have to get, you know, what they have to do to get their act together to get a furnished short-term rental. And so I wonder if that will change for us.
I think that could be a huge market for any short-term rental company. So I can tell you what happened with my own family. My oldest was at a major university town, and he had a apartment, you know, way before all this happened. We had gotten him and his roommate an apartment for the 12 months that he was going to live. And we already were a little bit, you know, annoyed that he was going to finish school in May, and we still were going to have to pay for the apartment, right, as you do through August. So there were already going to be 5 months where we weren't really going to be using that apartment. Then COVID came and he had to vacate by the beginning of March. So we paid for an August-to-August rental and he only used it August to March.
Oof.
And like that makes you want to vomit, doesn't it? Like, it wasn't, I really wanted to puke more times than once in this podcast, I guess, in my stories. But I will say that my other son is in school in a major city, and every kid there, the kids who are going down there are, they just want monthly rentals. They want to be able to rent month to month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tailor-made for you. What would be great, I would think, if I were in your current position, is to make sure that the universities and campuses have you listed as an opportunity. And there you do need to price yourself right. I don't think you even need to price yourself cheaply, but you need to price yourself right for the market for a month-long lease, as opposed to, of course, in happier times when you're doing 2-3-night stays. But I think that that's a huge opportunity. Another opportunity for, again, those of us that have to work a little bit harder, you know, people in the Northeast or in the Northwest, think about people who are near hospitals. So one of the people that I trained in New York City in a different hotel than yours, Sarah, is a reservations agent who owns 3 B&B Airbnb units, and they're all near major hospitals in Queens. This is so smart, right? And her business is booming. She also, by the way, even before COVID, she keeps, like, I love it when I use Airbnb. I love it when people, when I'm staying, the host will have welcome baskets. Well, her welcome basket are full of things you would need if you suddenly found yourself staying because of an ill friend, right? Or because of a loved one who's sick. So she has all these toiletries and things that you might not have thought to pack. She also always had facial masks, like paper masks. So think about what your welcome amenity is to look like, and make sure that it also is sensitive if that's the purpose of a lot of your guests, if that's why they're coming in. There are also businesses that are still open right now. And those businesses, you want to make sure that you're appealing to them. So make sure that the if you are near, let's say you're near an Amazon that's still up and running full force, make sure that the HR department at Amazon knows what you have, and make sure that you're selling it as a great place to be if somebody has to travel on business.
So listeners, really quick, Kate, and just for an example, taking all that you're saying, and I'm gonna, you know, listeners, kind of like capsulize it for you. It's you've got to look at your business holistically, and yes, take into consideration of what you knew your business to be, but look at where you're at now and see. For example, Kate, I want to go back to the Minnesota short-term rental. Mm-hmm. You mentioned skiing, maybe restaurants that have heated outdoor seating. Would you, in your professional opinion, maybe lead your marketing with those versus, you know, so a lot of our listeners are, like we said, solopreneurs. They have maybe one short-term rental, one Airbnb, and they rely on these online travel agencies like Airbnb to help market their rentals. And so I'm thinking about their hero image, that first image you see on the website as potential guests are scrolling, or even that copy that comes up above the fold on their listing. Should they leave with these family-friendly, COVID-friendly destinations and experiences on their online listings?
I absolutely would. And, you know, when you think about how are you making your guests feel safe enough to travel right now, I would lead with that. I would lead with, we've always been clean and immaculate, but here are our additional steps that we're taking. And looking for something to do in an age of a pandemic, we have lots of great activities or great dining options for your family to disconnect, to reconnect. And I would act as a concierge for your guests. So I think that absolutely needs to be the first thing that they see. You know, this is an opportunity to differentiate yourself also from hotels, in the sense that hotels are having to cater to large groups of people coming in, and this is your way to say you won't be in a large lobby with a lot of other guests. You will be in our home. And I think that that's something they should definitely take advantage of and point out.
That's actually a really interesting segue, Kate, because you are so deeply rooted in the hotel industry and luxury brands and the like. What are you seeing? Annette and I, that was like the question we had for each other back in May, June. We're like, are people going to want to stay in hotels? Or are they going to want to stay in a short-term rental? So what are you seeing? What are the conversations the hotels are having about themselves and about short-term rentals? Since you have this awesome bird's eye view, can you share with us your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, as a hotel consultant, I can tell you what hotels are doing that is really smart, that everybody should be doing. And that is they are reaffirming their promise to keep guests safe, and they're reaffirming their vision of what a clean property looks like. But you know, I've been talking about Airbnb for years. Airbnb, which started in 2008. You know, you always have to think when large corporations, and I know of a few who said, I'm not worried about Airbnb, they're not our market. Whenever somebody tells me, I've learned through history, they're not our market, that's when I know they should be worried and they're not paying attention. So, you know, Airbnb started, and many others like them started around 2008. 2008 was the beginning of the recession. And indeed, they were a great economic choice for people who didn't want all the bells and whistles of a hotel. But as it elevated and as it became more popular, guests changed what they wanted. So like prior to the pandemic, this was already happening. Guests, there was a shift in guest focus. They stopped wanting individualized attention, and instead luxury guests wanted individualized experiences. So Airbnb and other short-term rental companies have been smart enough to see that after the economic crisis was over, travelers wanted to have an individual experience that nobody else could replicate. That's what I think your strong suit still is. As a solopreneur, people don't need to name drop, I say it at X hotel or Y hotel. They have Facebook and Instagram for that. They can show their great experience now. But instead, what authentic, interesting experiences are you bringing in? So I hear some of my hotel companies, clients are saying, we will check in your guests and directly bypass the lobby so you don't need to go through large spaces where there's a lot of people. Well, you've got that already. Hotels are saying, these are the cleaning techniques that we've always done, but now we're upping our game to this. Well, you could do that too. But to create a customized vacation just for a person, just for a family that's traveling, that is really special. And that is what I think people want to want in their stay, but especially in the luxury or upper tier markets, they want to pay for. So anything that your solopreneurs can do to differentiate themselves from the competition, which is the other short-term renters in the area, but also the hotels, is to say, we will customize a vacation for you. We will customize an experience for what you want it to be. You will not be one of 100 rooms with us. You're our guest, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point, because we see right now a lot of individual hosts are adding on to their nightly stay, either upgraded experiences that they can help the guest with, or even just grocery shopping or bringing amenities to that. The hosts are really taking a look at what are some other revenue opportunities, but within that, it's obviously creates a better experience for the guest. And I think that's a trend that Sarah and I have been seeing during the pandemic is, wait a second, how, like, nightly rates are nightly rates or like occupancy rates. So how can we continue to, you know, create more revenue for ourselves? And it was really taking a lesson from the hotel industry of like, wait a second, let's think about these things that they offer and how can we mirror it and bring it into our properties. And I think that's exactly what you're saying, is creating, you know, not just letting them check into your whole home, but what else can you provide for them once they, upon arrival and during their stay?
Yeah. I love the website. Airbnb's website is now showing experiences that you could purchase right from the safety of your home.
Mm-hmm.
It's also showing experiences, featuring experiences of different locations. So they're doing some of that marketing for you. But in case they don't talk about your location, or in case there's something that you think they're missing, make sure that that's prominently featured. I remember, I have another suggestion for you, Annette, you made me think of it, but I remember a time after 9/11 happened, I was working as a director of revenue in a hotel, and we had a promo called Now is the Time. And the idea, the sentiment behind it was, now's the time for families to get together and spend time together.
Mm.
And it touched a nerve. It was very, very popular. But besides all of that, I think that in a hotel, trying to make a personalized, special experience for 140 guests is pretty difficult, but you can do it for you. You pare it down to just one family. Your family tells us what they're interested in. We will price it out. So everybody, mark my words. This is what you want to say in your copy. Your family can tell us about the experience they're looking for, and we will put together a pricing package for you to choose from.
Ooh, that was good. That was really good.
Don't make it free. Crap's not free. Nothing's free, right? So if you are doing grocery shopping for the guests so they don't have to, you're going to give them their grocery shopping list, and there is a service charge that you attach to that. If they are wanting tickets that are non-refundable, you are getting those tickets in advance for them, but making sure that they understand what all the rules are and how it's non-refundable. Mm-hmm. So you can build packages, but those packages will have a cost. Just remember that. And I think I say this to solopreneurs that are so kind and good-hearted, and they think the more free stuff I give away, the better. Free, everybody, means nothing. You give me something free, and I will thank you for it, but I will forget it in 2 minutes. Things that you charge me for, I will place more value on because I paid for it.
Amen.
Ooh, yeah.
We're listeners. And I'm going to be bold and just say that this, maybe it's just the people I surround myself with, but I just feel like, Kate, this happens so much with female business owners, especially in our industry, right? We want to cater. We want to take care of. We're all struggling right now. So I can do this. I can donate my time. And I love that sentiment, but the whole reason behind Thanks for Visiting, listeners, and Kate knows this to be true. I'm just reaffirming your beliefs, Kate, is that you've got to be profitable so you can keep offering your space and your services and your smiling face to travelers for years to come, or maybe buy another property or up-level what you've already got going on in your space. And no one's going to give you stuff for free to do that with.
Absolutely. And you are right. And I'm always kicking people in the tush saying that you cannot outshine or outwin your competition by giving away free stuff, because you're all just racing to the bottom. And the bottom is you're not profitable anymore. So figure out, everybody, your costs, and then build on those costs a profit margin that you want to have. And realize that your time also has a cost. And Sarah, not only do you want to make sure that people walk out of your experience feeling great and like they had a wonderful experience, you want them to feel they had a great value. But you want to be smiling too and feel like you got a good price. So everybody has to be smiling at the end. It can't just be the guest. It has to be you too. Whenever I have a new client and the client tries to nickel and dime me and tries to cut my prices, I always think they don't really value what I do. That's not my client. I don't need that client.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. Can I ask you kind of a big question that I hope maybe you can just give us your not quick. I don't want you to rush through it, but it is a big question, but I have to ask you.
Yeah.
The pandemic, I don't believe, isn't going anywhere anytime soon, right? We're going to be living with this for some time. So what have you seen work well in terms of cancellation policies? When, you know, this happened a lot with, before we all knew what was going on, you know, guests were demanding money back, even though they had a cancellation policy that didn't permit money coming back. Now I know some, you know, larger vacation rental, bigger per night rate vacation rentals, or say, well, we all know there's a pandemic now, so either you commit the stay to our policy, or maybe you just wait to book travel until you feel comfortable committing. Or should all, you know, hospitality professionals adopt a flexible cancellation policy and allow people to cancel because they got in contact with someone who has COVID or they can't travel? Or what's your thought on all of that?
Yeah, I'm going to totally break character and say this is the one thing that I would be pretty flexible on for a couple of reasons. But first of all, normally my cancellation policy is firm, but I really don't want somebody with COVID coming to stay in my home. Because, and people will do it, right? Because they can't get the money back, they will come. And do you really want to be dragging somebody with COVID across country? So cancellation policies for me, you could, first of all, I'm guessing everybody's going to notice that their booking windows is a lot shorter than it used to be. More last minute travel. And then you have less likelihood of them canceling last minute. But I would say you do not want to be the company that holds people to their deposit when they've lost a loved one. Mm-hmm. That's very poor press for you. You don't want to be the company that is holding people to their cancellation policies if they've had a tragedy and lost their job. So cancellation policies, I myself have been extremely lenient on for this time period. I'm not going to stay this way, but for this time period. And if there is maybe a deposit you want to take from them up front, and then say you've canceled outside of your cancellation policy, but we will hold this deposit for another 6-7 months. You can use it towards your stay. That's a nice kind of compromise. But this is the one time, and anybody who knows me can't believe I said that, but this is the one time I'm pretty flexible with cancellation, just because I don't want them there either.
Right. And it's unprecedented time. So that causes us to rethink policies that were in effect for a different time. So
yeah, if everybody is canceling, I would start to ask myself why and what I need to revisit. But if it happens on occasion, 30% of the time now, that's due to the pandemic. I had another suggestion for your listeners to consider, and that is, if they haven't done so already, what do you two think about my suggestion that your regular guests, the people who have come to stay in your rentals, those would be people I would reach out to. And I would reach out to tell them, we hope that you're well during this difficult time. We wanted to share with you what is new in our area, what is happening right now, and we would love it if you will come stay with us again soon.
Listeners, I think you know what I'm going to say to you, which is, and Kate, this is where our listeners really differ from the structure of a business at a hotel, where Annette and I are trying to get them to think of themselves in terms of marketing and not relying on Airbnb to do that, because, you know, Airbnb won't necessarily share our past guests' information with us. So listeners, you could reach out to these guests on the Airbnb platform if you want to scroll through, or you've made a little spreadsheet for yourself of their name and you can search for them, or you could think of creative ways to capture their information while they're staying with you, so you can do what Kate just suggested. You really got to take the marketing and getting repeat guests into your own hands. Kate, Annette, do you have any other questions? So I've got a final one if you do or don't.
I'll let you wrap it up, Sarah.
Well, Kate, I just want to know, it's a big question. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but where do you see the future of travel, especially, you know, not only those people who are the luxurious clients, but even just New York City or San Francisco or, you know, Columbus, Ohio, these secondary markets. Are we going to get back to where we were, do you think? Is it going to be better than ever? Is it going to be different and you're just not sure? What are you seeing?
Sure. So, I think that the first to recover, first of all, I think that we're in this for a longer haul than anybody wants to admit. I think that even after there's a vaccine, which, I mean, we're all hoping is soon, but even after there's a vaccine, it's going to take a couple of years for people to develop trust again in travel, especially travel that they don't have to do, but travel that they're choosing to do. I think, though, that travel is becoming more special, and we had taken it for granted. There was a statistic recently that said, through this pandemic, there is one group that is projecting more than half of the hotels that are open, that were open prior to the pandemic, are going to close forever. Now, that sounds really dire and horrible. But what that also says is maybe there were too many hotels and there was a glut in the market. We'd gone through 10 years of economic growth, and maybe it grew so much and so fast that it wasn't absorbed. And so half of the competition is going to be gone. I think what's here to stay, if I were making projections, masks are going to be here to stay. I think people are going to always wear masks now in this country, like they do in every other country, by the way. If you have a cold, you wear a mask so you don't spread your germs to everyone. I think that that is going to be something that will catch. I think that there will be more interest in small individualized stays. And I think group will take a long time to recover. And I think cities are going to recover differently. I think resorts are going to come back pretty strong. Those that survive will come back strong. I think resort towns will come back strong. I think cities, it's going to take a little more time because they're so congested. I can tell you, I love museums. I go to every museum in the world. Museums are kind of, you know, my thing. And I haven't been to a museum in a very long time. I have a reservation for my area museum to see a show in a month and a half, and I am so excited. I think that everybody, moving forward from now, is going to treasure their experiences a little bit more, which means whether you're luxury or not, everybody needs to elevate their experience. As a matter of fact, I'll leave you with this thought, and that is, I work in the world of luxury. I like the challenge of showing value. If you're going to charge someone $1,500 a night to stay in a hotel, I want to make sure that you bring the value to make it worth it. But actually, those aren't the most difficult guests. The most difficult guests are middle-tier guests. The guest who spends $250 a night will complain a lot more than a guest spending $600 a night. So, to me, where it's going to be at in the future is making that middle tier guest who maybe had a setback with their career or a pay cut or difficulty, they're going to be saving their money to travel because people love to travel. People will always travel. So how can we please them? That guest that is paying $200, $250 of their hard-earned money, you need to provide them more value than ever. That's going to be the biggest change. But they'll still come. They're still going to come. And I think that you, as a solopreneur, are in a great position to appeal to them for something that's special and unique and Instagrammable and tailored to their family. I think there's a lot of hope coming through in the future.
Kate, you are the best.
Yeah, we love that.
I just remember leaving, you know, your trainings and just feeling this, you know, renewed sense of like being able to level up. You know, it gets hard, especially right now with the pandemic and business is changing. It's different. It's weird. Things are happening. People are sick. People, you know, are passing. You know, so it's really hard to think about leveling up your business. But at the same time, you listeners, you've got to do what you love. You've got to find a way to reinvent yourself. And I think Kate is giving us a lot of food for thought so that we can do that and be there for guests so that they can, they're going to be treating travel as a special thing. Let's give them a special stay.
Yeah.
All right. Annette, anything else?
Can we have Kate back again and like have virtual coffee with her?
Can we just take you with us, yeah, Kate, in our pocket at all times?
Well, you know, girls, I'm available. So awesome. Yes, I would love it.
I have one tiny question.
Yeah.
Most famous person that you butlered for in a hotel, or your most, or the one that impacted you the most?
I'll tell you about two people because they're dead. Okay. So I wouldn't tell anybody anything about people that are alive. Okay, and by the way, I should tell you, Annette, I'm writing a book right now. I'm in the middle of a book, but I will not. I want everyone to know it's going to be good, but it's not going to be about, you know, who was horrific and who did what, because there is a need for professionalism in our business, mm-hmm. where the guest can come and be at home and never be betrayed. Somehow, knowing nothing, really next to nothing, I was such a little idiot. And I ended up being a butler for Princess Diana.
Stop it.
It's true.
Ah, and, so cool.
I ended up helping prepare Jacqueline Kennedy one night too for
what?
An outing.
You just, this is drop the mic, these
gosh.
Two.
Well, and they were both lovely and smart. And I got to see what it's like to be them. And I will tell you, I came away feeling really grateful for the time that we got to spend. That heady, wonderful time, I get my heart touched more by regular people that I train. I train in this very small country, this little village in Africa. And the stories they tell me are even more drop the mic and astounding. Mm. So every one of us has amazing stories. Every one of us has the ability to touch each other's lives. I always say, this is how I end my trainings. I teach you, everybody, I just spent some time with you. And by the way, if anyone is interested, you may ask for my services. And anybody who says, you heard about me from your podcasts, I would be happy to offer. I'll offer a very special group rate too. But I always end my trainings by saying, we just spent an hour or so talking about how to touch a guest's wallet, right? Don't really touch their wallet, you'll get fired. But how to get a guest to spend more money than they might have expected. But I want everyone in here to remember, if you have an opportunity, touch a guest's heart. Mm. If you have an opportunity to make a connection with somebody and to make them feel more important or more ready for their day or more valued, do it, because you might not get another chance. That's what I'll leave you with.
Mm. Ah,
Kate.
That was beautiful.
So,
thank you.
Of course.
Kate, can you let our listeners know how can they connect with you?
Yes, please. So, I normally, you can always reach me. I'm very Googleable. You can reach me on my website, which is profitable2train.com. But if you are interested, what I think I will do is I normally coach people. I coach people individually. I'm expensive. It's like $500 an hour. But if I get enough people from your podcast, so if they say they heard about me from Thanks for Visiting, I think I would group them into groups of four or five, and I would try to pick people that are kind of similar and charge them $100 each.
Great.
Wow.
And we can send an email about that. So yeah, we'll put something in the show notes, and then listeners, if you're not on our email list, join that. And then we can also send that out when your episode airs to
Great.
Let them know.
If you Excellent. Aren't inundated with listeners, if you aren't taking Kate up on this offer, you are silly. I know, Kate, you already have one person. So if we can get four more, I will join you listeners with a training session with Kate. She is the real deal. Kate, thank you so much for this hour you spent with our listeners and with us. I'm leaving with a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. And so you've done your job with us, and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much.
Oh, yes, my sure. pleasure. I'm going to just keep watching your stars rise, both of you.
Thank you, Kate. All right, listeners, I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette, and together we are Thanks for Visiting.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.